welcome to each and every one of you. And we hope all of you will join us upstairs for a time of refreshment with coffee and some other beverages and cookies following the service upstairs. Gives us an opportunity to get to know each other a little better. And on a day like this, what better thing would there be to do than to come upstairs and spend a little time together with friends? So we hope you'll do that. Also, if you will, please make yourselves known to us and to each other by autographing these lovely attendance pew pads that you'll see here. We really don't keep track of attendance, but we do look at these and see if we have any visitors who are with us, and it also gives us an opportunity to greet one another by name. So if you will, please take this, pass it down to the end of the pew and then back to the center, and in just a short while, we'll greet one another by name as you do that. A couple of announcements. Please look at your calendar. There are a few things happening this afternoon. We have the crop walk this afternoon. And do we have Suzanne Price who is here? Suzanne, would you stand up? She'll be upstairs in the Pilgrim Hall following the service. If you'd like to still donate or even walk, see Suzanne and bring an umbrella. Oh, and Mary here too. Stand up, Mary. You were here last week. Limping in is Mary Mostegain. But she'll still collect donations, she said. What a sacrifice. We do appreciate that. Please note also at 2 o'clock this afternoon here in our sanctuary, we'll be having the David Fellback funeral service. David was a former professor at the University of Michigan. At age 91, about a week ago, passed away. Longtime member of this church, and we're having his funeral service here this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Also, please note, next Sunday, following this service in the Mayflower Room, is our new member orientation, which gives people who have been visiting our church and maybe people who are considering membership in this church a chance to hear a little bit more about who we are as a local church and meet some of the leaders as well. That will be next Sunday, the 22nd, following worship, down in the Mayflower Room, which is on the main floor level of the church, at about 11:15, and it includes a delicious brunch. So even if you choose not to join at this time and you would like to attend and hear more about the First Congregational Church, please join us next Sunday. Also, there is a person who is in our sanctuary today, and you know who you are. I refer to him as my little brother because his birthday is 10 days after my birthday. So he's much younger than I am. And that person is Michael Dabbs, celebrating his birthday. Mike, stand up. I saw that you were here. You can't get away with it. And you can thank me later. Happy birthday. Wow. You look younger this year than last year and younger than the year before. Same with me. And if we believe that, we're in trouble. But anyway, welcome to the church. Welcome to First Congregational Church. Delighted that you're here. And let us take a moment now as we gather to welcome each other, wish Mike a happy birthday as we begin our worship. Good morning.
Good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
How are you, my friend?
Good morning. Good morning.
Guess what?
What?
Ursa's tomorrow. She's our older son.
Hey, good to see you here. I got it. He still has my microphone on. Turn off my mic.
Stand up and let us all go. He will.
And good morning, everyone. Please join me in the call to worship, the prayer of invocation, and the Lord's Prayer this morning. We have gathered from our different places to worship God this morning. How good it is to worship together in unity. Let us give thanks and praise to God and call upon God's name. Let us make known God's steadfast love and grace among the people. For God is good, and God's compassion is forever. Let us pray in one voice. Gracious God, our help and our hope, be with us this day. Bless our time together as we seek your presence, welcome your guidance, and grow in your grace. Gather us together as one body with many different parts and gifts, that we may be your disciples on this earth. In the name of Jesus, we pray, who taught us to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
To come up forward now for our children's circle, if any of my young friends are here. Just have a seat right up here on the chancel steps, if you will, please. And good morning to all of you. Kind of a wet day today, isn't it? Yeah, well, good to see you. Good to see you. Good morning. Yeah, this is a good group today. Nice to see everybody. Say, I brought something with me this morning that I want to show you, okay? I brought this lamp with me that at one point was my mother's. And now I have it. And so I wanted you to see it today. And I want you to see the really bright light that it has, too. Here I go. Just a minute. Let me. What's up? It's not plugged in, so that's why it doesn't work, huh? Well, let me plug it in. Thank you for that. I really appreciate that. Let me see if I can get this to work then. Boy, oh boy, this is harder than I thought. Hey, who said it wasn't plugged in? Thank you very much. I guess I hadn't noticed that. Yeah, this was the lamp that my mother gave me. And you know something, it doesn't work very well if it's not plugged in, does it? And it didn't work well at all. As a matter of fact, I needed that power from the cord here to make the light bulb come on. And so I really thank you for pointing that out. You know, I think there's a lesson here maybe. What do you think? Think about faith for just a second. I mean, we are a church. Think about faith for just a second. And, you know, sometimes I think that faith doesn't work too well unless you're really plugged into God. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, if you really want to have God's power and presence in your life, I guess you have to kind of plug into God a little bit, don't you? You know, and if you don't, it's kind of like this lamp. It won't work. You know, it doesn't work at all, really. You have to kind of plug into that power. When we talk about our faith and plugging into the power of God, what does that look like if you're plugging into the power of God like a lamp cord plugs into a power source here? What are some of the ways that we connect with God? We plug in to God. What would you say? Praying. Excellent. That's one of the ways that we kind of connect ourselves with God is through prayer. How else do we connect with God? Do we kind of plug in a little bit? There's a lot of other ways. You're doing it right now, as a matter of fact. Yeah, go ahead. Coming to church, being with other people who are also plugged in to God, if you will. Any other thoughts? Well, I'll tell you, there are a bunch of other thoughts, and maybe Miss Terry will talk to you about some of those today, or your church school teacher will talk to you about some of those today. You know, there are other ways that we plug into the presence of God, too. One of the main ways we do it, and we heard about it earlier this day, is by serving God's people, by being out there loving the world and helping people. That's another way that we plug into God's presence and power. Well, think about those things. You might talk about them more at church school, but please join me in prayer right now, will you? Dear God, if we want your power in our lives, we have to plug into you. Be with these kids and help them to have a good day. Be with these kids and help them have a good day today in church school. For we ask this in your name. Amen. Okay. Thank you for your attentiveness. Thank you for your help. And enjoy your time at church school today. And let us now receive our offerings of thanksgiving to God, the God who is with us here and always. Amen.
Thank you.
God, we thank you for peaceful sounds, for inspiring words and thoughts. We thank you for the many ways that you touch our lives with goodness, with joy. We ask you now to receive these, our offerings of thanksgiving, and help our lives be symbols of gratitude. For we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue our journey through the Beatitudes, looking today at the Beatitude that is listed in verse 8, "Happy are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And I'll be reading the full text of the Beatitudes from the Good News Translation of the Bible, reading Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. So listen to God speaking to you through these very sacred and beautiful words, words that I hope after the end of this series, and you've heard the Beatitudes read probably 8 or 9 times, you will mostly have them in your memory. They're wonderful, powerful, beautiful texts. So listen to God speaking to you through these words. Jesus saw the crowds, and he went up a hill, and he sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are those who mourn. God will comfort them. Happy are those who are humble. They will receive what God has promised. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. God will satisfy them fully. Happy are those who are merciful to others. God will be merciful to them. Happy are the pure in heart. They will see God. Happy are those who work for peace. God will call them God's children. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are you when people insult you and persecute you and tell you all kinds of evil lies against you. Because you are my followers, be happy, be glad, for a great reward is kept for you in heaven. This is how the prophets who lived before you were persecuted. Here ends the reading. Let us begin with a moment of silence, shall we? And then I'll offer a prayer. Let us pray. Oh God, touch us once again this morning with a real experience and sense of your closeness and grace and your love that surrounds us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable and pleasing to you. Amen. Well, after living in Ann Arbor now for the past 20 years, I think I can objectively and reasonably say that life in an academic community like ours is a very wonderful and invigorating and inspiring experience and place to live. And let me just say, being in this academic community with very intelligent people like all of you, everyone way above average, where all the women are strong and the men are good looking and all of our young people are above average, is a treat, an honor, and a privilege. I'm sure you know what I mean. We all feel the same way, don't we, here in Ann Arbor? And I don't say that with any arrogance, I want you to know. It is wonderful being in Ann Arbor, and it's wonderful being around a university community and having all of these ideas going on around you and these amazing, exciting discoveries occurring and all the other things that we enjoy here in Ann Arbor, and you're all part of that kind of experience here in Ann Arbor. So I thought that since we're gathered here this morning and knowing your high level of intelligence, I thought that I would once again do an experiment that I like to do with you this morning, and I really hope you are game for this, maybe again, because I know that some, maybe 10 years ago, I did the same thing, and hopefully you don't remember it well enough to not be able to play this game with me again this morning. What I would like to ask you to do is take a really quick look around you in the worship space, in the sanctuary this morning, and to take particular note of everything in the sanctuary that is brown. Everything that is brown. Okay, now I would like to ask you to please bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. And without answering out loud, even though I had them answer out loud up in Pilgrim Hall, without answering out loud, what did you notice that was blue? Or what did you notice that was red? Or what did you notice that was green? Maybe if you were looking for blue or aware of blue, you saw the carpet or the choir robes. Or green, perhaps you saw the beautiful flowers on our communion table this morning, or the greens that are in the stained glass windows, or if it was red, maybe you saw the fire alarm signals or the flags on our chancel area. But what did you notice about those other colors? And you may certainly now open your eyes if you haven't already. Well, let me ask you a question. Did you find that it was difficult in any way to think of items of another color because you were so focused, as I asked you to be, on things that were brown? Yes? There's a lot of brown in our worship space. The point, of course, and I know you've probably already thought this already. The point of this little experiment is simply this. We tend to notice the things, and we tend to find the things that we're looking for. We tend to notice those things, we tend to pay attention to those things, and we tend to find those things that we are looking for. Likewise, we tend to filter out and miss the things that we are not looking for. The truth is, and you all know this, we, all of us, are constantly framing and experiencing our reality by the things we filter out and by the things we pay attention to. We see what we decide to notice. And we don't see what we choose to ignore. And yes, most often the screening process is something that is done unconsciously. We're unconsciously filtering stimuli out all the time. It's a fact. For example, if I were to gather a group of very prominent scientists and ask them how many of them believe in the existence and in the reality of God, I statistically know that a good number of those scientists would raise their hands. Similarly, I also know that if I were to ask the same group of scientists how many of them did not believe in the existence and reality of God, that a good number of them would also raise their hands. So here is a group of scientists with very similar characteristics and experiences and education, with similar backgrounds and training and intelligence, yet different responses totally about the reality of God. Why is that? Well, I believe the reason would be because belief in God is not simply a matter of intelligence. And belief in God is not simply a matter of having particular scientific knowledge. And belief in God is not simply an issue of somehow properly discerning the data. No, I believe, in reference to the little experiment that we did earlier, I believe that belief in the ability to accept the reality of God is primarily a matter of faith and primarily a matter of having eyes of faith, of being intellectually and spiritually open to the idea and the possibility of a divine presence. In other words, I believe we find God as we seek God, and as we consciously and intentionally open ourselves to the possibility of the reality of God. I think this is precisely what Jesus is talking about in our Beatitude this morning. Jesus is saying, blessed or deeply satisfied or deeply content are those who are pure in heart, for they shall experience the reality and the presence of God. The key Greek word here is the word katharos, which is translated pure in our text, which has several very important meanings. First of all, the word katharos was often used to describe something that was clean. Think of the word catharsis in our own English language. For instance, it could be used to speak of soiled clothes that had been washed clean. Or it could be speaking of a person who had just bathed. So here the word katharos means clean, pure in that sense that it's totally clean. Secondly, katharos was used to describe corn that had been winnowed or sifted and cleansed of all its chaff, or an army that had been purged of all discontent within the ranks. Here katharos refers to something that is unspoiled. It's referring to something that's unmixed. It's referring to something that is fully connected. And thirdly, katharos was often used to describe metals that had been refined until all the impurities of that metal were removed, leaving then only the pure metal. In that sense, katharos means something that's unalloyed, something that's unadulterated, Applied then to the purity of heart, this idea of katharos is talking about a kind of single-mindedness. It's talking about purging out those distractions that keep us from relating to the reality of God. It's talking about an undivided kind of devotion that we would give to God in this case, and a kind of spiritual integrity that we have in relationship to God. Perhaps Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard came as close to anyone that I have read to a precise definition of katharos with his famous saying that katharos means to will one thing, to will one thing. Again, it's talking about focus and priority and purging out all that distracts us from taking in the reality then of the divine. Katharos. In the sixth beatitude, Jesus then is essentially saying to us, blessed are those who truly, in an unadulterated kind of way and with an unmixed kind of focus, seek a relationship with God, whose intentions and motivations are genuine and unmixed, for Jesus says, they shall see God and they shall experience the reality of God. The beatitude then is not referring to some kind of moral purity, which we often think of when we hear of pure of heart. It's not referring to some kind of moral purity, and it is not talking about some kind of sinless state of being. And it is not talking about some kind of behavioral or ethical perfectionism. But instead, this beatitude is talking about people who are open to pursuing a living and loving relationship and experience with God. This is about decidedly and intentionally seeking God and being actively devoted to God. This is about engaging a right relationship with God and others and self. Jesus says it is these folk who are really seeking after God, these folk who are really putting their focus on God and trying to remove all the other distractions from their relationship with God. Jesus says it is these folk who approach God with such singleness of mind and who are trying to live out God's purposes and will and values for their lives, whom Jesus says will be blessed. And thus they will see and experience God. The question for us this morning then is, are we weeding out, purging out the clutter from our lives and seeking after God? Are we every day trying to purge these things from our lives that are holding us back and keeping us from everything that God intends for us and for us to be? Are we being intentional about doing so, or are we just going through the motions? You see, the good news here is that the ball is firmly in our court, and it's up to us to choose and to decide. So where are you today in your relationship with God? Where are you with seeking God as a daily presence in your life? As God comes into our consciousness and as we experience God's living and loving presence in our lives, and as we open ourselves to the divine and make God's will and purposes and ideals our priorities, then, Jesus says, we will find God and our lives will be blessed. Let me share a very personal story with you. Many, many years ago now, while I was a college student, I went through a very personal faith crisis with my best friend's father, who is this absolutely wonderful Christian gentleman whom I was very close to. My own father had died when I was 7, and this man, my friend's father, was a father figure to me. I was very close to him, and he was hospitalized rather suddenly and diagnosed with a very serious a kind of lymphoma. I was, at that point in time when I was in college, I was a really new Christian. And I have to admit that I had a very hard time believing that there could be a God if God would allow such a wonderful, fine man as my friend's father, who was also a very staunch believer in God, to die such a sad and debilitating death. As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, I was beginning to think that I may have been too hasty in deciding to be a follower of Jesus. And I even began to look around a bit at some of the other philosophical and religious pathways that one could consider. If the God way, Jesus way, wasn't right, well, maybe I could find something else or something a little better for me. Then it happened one day that I had the opportunity to visit my friend's dad by myself in his hospital room, and I had an opportunity to talk with him in private. As we were talking, he asked me how I was doing, and I just kind of unloaded about the doubts that I was having about God and why I was having these doubts and all of that. Well, my friend's dad listened to me with great respect and with great empathy, and after I finished ranting, literally, about God and about faith and the unfairness of life and all these kinds of things, my friend's father said to me, "Bob, last night I was praying. It was late in the night. I couldn't go to sleep. I was all alone. I was praying, and I had this incredibly present kind of experience of God being right there with me. And I felt, with that kind of experience, great comfort, and I felt great peace." And then he said, "Bob, I believe the God I was praying to was real. I've known God for a long time, and he's always been there for me." He said, "You see, Bob, I believe God is all around us. Whether we can feel God's presence or not, God is still there. And I believe God loves you, and I believe God loves me, and I believe God loves everybody in the world, and you just need to open your heart and open your eyes and start looking for God, and God will be there." Well, it was just a few weeks later that my friend's dad died. I vividly remember his funeral. It was an absolutely beautiful, powerful celebration of his life and a wonderful testimony to the God that he had dedicated his life to serving. He was a community servant. He was a leader in business. He was just an amazing man. And we heard from his son, who was talking about his dad. We heard about a God who was friend and companion to his dad throughout his whole life. A divine presence whom he believed was intimately with him to the very end, no matter what, giving him strength and courage and peace. Well, as I thought about this back then, it was a lot of years ago, and even as I think about it now, some probably 45 years later, I thought, and I think, my friend's dad was right on. In fact, so much so back then, and even now, that I decided to give God another try and another try and another try. And so I began to try to open my eyes and my heart with faith, to begin to expect that I would see God in the midst of my everyday life. And as I did so, and as I continue to do so, because this is a ongoing journey for me. Some days I'm doing it much better than other days. Some days I experience God much more than I do on other days. But as I continued to do so, and as I continue to do so, I found and I find that God is right here with me and with you all the time. And as I say often, that love of God will never let me go. It's not a perfect journey, of course, and I have come to a place in my life where I believe it, whether I feel it or not. You see, when it comes to faith, we tend to experience what we're looking for. When it comes to faith, believing is seeing. When it comes to faith, we have to open our lives to the presence and the potential reality of God in order for us to experience that kind of reality of God in our lives. When it comes to faith, going back to Kierkegaard, we have to take a leap and kind of let go in order to find out that there's some substance there that will hold us. When it comes to faith, it means walking forward in the journey even though we can't see the light at the end of the darkness. When it comes to faith, it means day by day purging the clutter from our lives that keeps us back in order to find that clear pathway to the love of God that is surrounding us and holding us. Indeed, when it comes to faith, it begins by letting go. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who truly seek God with single purpose, who truly seek God with faith, who truly seek God with unmixed motives, who make God a priority." For Jesus says, it is those people, it is those of you who shall see and experience the reality of God in your life. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. It begins with a walk of faith. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you. Ricky and Janie, that was beautiful. Thank you. This morning, I am going to use a poem. It is also a hymn, a song that was written by a doctoral advisor that I had in Chicago by the name of Tom Traeger, who you probably haven't heard of, unless you read in the theological area as much. He is a great preacher, he's a poet, he's a wonderful writer, he's a hymn writer. In his book that was written in 2009, titled God, You Made All Things for Singing, he has this one particular song that is titled, Too Often, God, Your Name is Used. And I'd like to use this morning, it is a poem, as our prayer, which lifts up both, I think, what it means to be pure in heart, how it looks like when we are trying to follow a God and God's will and purposes, and also how we then identify ourselves with the world and those around us. Let us begin with a time of silence, especially as we think of some of the things that are going on around us in our world. We think of those bombings that occurred in Somalia, in the capital of Somalia, wildfires in California, the recovery work in Puerto Rico and the Caribbean right now, the many people we probably know who are suffering or ill or struggling or disappointed. So let us begin with a moment of silence, and I'll offer this hymn prayer by Tom Traeger for us. So let us pray. Too often, O God, your name is used to sanction hate and fear. So love and justice are refused to people you hold dear. Oh, never let us use your name to harm or hurt or kill or consecrate a vicious aim as your almighty will. But move through us in deeds that spell your name as love and light. For faithful actions far excel beliefs we may recite. Let naming you through how we live become our public creed. The clearest witness we can give is meeting human need. And keep us ready to receive the good that others do that helps expand what we believe and why we trust in you. For where deep love and justice meet, we see anew your face. And for a moment, glimpse complete the world transformed by grace. Thus synagogue and mosque and church look out beyond their walls to honor all who ask and search for where your spirit calls. Their questions and their wondering help us more fully claim our mission as an offering that glorifies your name. Amen.
Thank you.
Be seated. I go from here surrounded by the love of God, lifted by God's grace, reminded of the fact that there is nowhere you can be, but that God is also there with you. From north to south to furthest east and west, God's presence is with us. So go in peace and be blessed. Amen.